Bob Bolin with us. As a young man, what did you do in the winters? Because did you have winter ball in those days, or did you go back home and work on the farm?
I played in Puerto Rico one winter with, Roberto Clemente was my teammate. We had a great team. He's a great guy. But then I, rest of the time, I never did work. I bird hunted. I'd always told Irene I didn't have time to work because I had to stay in shape, so I bird hunted every day. So I went quail hunting every day, having a little bird dog, get up in the morning, go hunting quail. I don't remember shooting many, but I always hunted every day.
And when did you get married?
We got married when we were real, had matured. She was 18 and I was 19. And so that was 58 years ago, and it's still going. Wow. People say, how did it last that long? And I said, well, I just didn't want to be trained again.
All right, so now you're in the big leagues, and 1961, you have a debut. It's against the Cincinnati Reds, Crosley Field, and
it
was in San Francisco, in Candlestick. All right, we'll talk about Candlestick, but here come the Reds with Frank Robinson and Eddie Casco and Vada Pinson and all that. What was that like?
When I left the bullpen that day, Stu Miller said, Frank Robinson was hitting, said, don't pitch him inside, he can't get out of the way good. So I said, I won't. So I forget who was, Hobie Landorf, I believe, was catching. Set up on the outside, low and away. I threw it up behind Frank's head. Trying to throw it low and away. I thought I'd killed it. He was a Triple Crown winner the year before. And then I think I ended up striking him out later. But that was my first appearance on the mound. That had a pinch yourself. People always ask me, Bob, what was your biggest thrill in baseball? And I said, well, my biggest thrill was walking out on the field with a major league uniform on and pinching myself as if I was still alive.
You came in that game in relief of Billy Lowe's and Eddie Fisher, the knuckleballer. Tell me about those two.
Eddie, I grew up, you know, playing in the minor leagues and seeing him all the time in spring training and everything. And so he lives in Lawton, Oklahoma, I think, right now. I see him once in a while, occasionally. Billy Lowe's. Billy was quite a he was a character. I remember he bought his first car. It was a Ford something, Pinto or ever what it was. I forget what, down here in the Bay Area. And he was quite a guy, I'll tell you. I can remember him pitching with the old Dodgers before we got him. So he was good. He had good stuff, good breaking ball, little riding fastball.
Don Larson was on that team, too.
Oh, Don was. He was quite a guy. He had that hard slider. He was one of the first guys that had a really legitimate slider, I'd call it, because he could throw that slider about every pitch, and he'd throw it in the dirt, knee high, then throw a hanging slider, and they'd just take it. But he was good. He'd done it a lot that year. I remember we called him Froggy, because he loved to gig frogs out here in the valley, and them are sloughs, all them things. And we lived together in the same apartment complex one year. And I remember him knocking on the door several times at 2 or 3 in the morning. Hey, Bob, come on over. Corrine's about got the frog legs finished. She'll be frying frog legs. And but he was a great guy. He still lives up in Corleone, Idaho. Yeah.
All right, Bob Bolin. All right, now 1962 is a very exciting season for the Giants. And it's a great pennant race and home runs the last weekend by Willie Mays. And Gene Oliver hits one against the Dodgers, and you guys end up in a tie. What happened?
Boy, that was, you know, we were five or six games back, I think. Five games with a week to play, I think it was, something like that. And, you know, the thought of winning, you always go out there to do it every day, but back of your mind you think, how in the world are we going to make up five games? And every day we'd look, Dodgers lose, we'd win, Dodgers. And all of a sudden, we're in that last game, and we're waiting on to see what the Dodgers done. And I forget who hit a
Gene Oliver
hit a home run and won the game. And we end up tied, went to L.A. And we played. Did we open in San Francisco?
They opened in San Francisco.
They went to L.A. And we lost one. And then they were down 4-2 in the ninth. And you're sitting there in the bullpen. All of a sudden, base hit, error, base hit. And now we end up scoring four runs, I believe, in the top of the ninth. So my roommate, Billy Pierce, goes in relief. Now I forget who's coming up. Oh, Tommy Davis is the on-deck hitter. And so the bullpen, Alvin says, you're going in to face Tommy Davis. If I forget who, Lee Walls, I believe, flied out or something. But the and I was thinking, because Tommy and I, we broke it. He was at Kokomo, Indiana when I was at Michigan City. He didn't like the idea of me throwing sidearm fastballs. But he was a 356 hitter that year, I believe, something like that. So I'm down there warming up thinking, oh, goodness, Pierce, get him out, get him out. Then Walls hit a fly ball left field, we won. And that was, we flew back in here, and I don't know how many 100,000 people was lined up. The Bay Area was pretty well shut down, 101. The wives couldn't get to the ballpark to pick us up. So they flew in on a charter, and we couldn't land. We couldn't get to the airport because it was all the runways were full of people. The taxiways were full of people. And so we were going to go to a hangar. We got everybody off the charter plane. We got on a bus going down to one of the hangars, and the airport authority come up and said, you got to go to the airport. The people are going to tear it down. So we tried to make it back to the airport, and then all the people saw us in the bus, and everybody said, it's the Giants bus, and they come around the bus and beating on the glass. And it was ironic. We had a guy named Bob Neiman. And then Carl Bowles played outfield. He looked like Willie. And Willie wasn't on there. Willie had already, he'd taken a, somebody got him out of there and took him. Well, Neiman starts hollering, throw them bowls, throw them bowls. But the horse policeman finally come, surrounded the bus, and we got out of there. And we went out, and I hitchhiked a ride. My roommate, Billy Pierce, and I, we were trying to get home, down to San Mateo. And so two ladies, ironic, a lady and her daughter come along and picked us up on 101. And gave us a ride to San Mateo. And we stayed at the San Mateo Hotel till the wives found us. And that same lady and her daughter was out at one of the games here a couple years ago.
Really?
They picked us up.
Billy Pierce had an amazing season. He couldn't lose at Candlestick.
He was my roommate, one of the greatest guys ever. And he was just about the most super guy. Him and Gloria, Irene and Gloria got along so great. And we had a great time. But I think he was 12-0 or something, or 15 or something like that. I remember one day they dug up the rubber off the mound and presented it to him, and he was quite a guy. He passed away last year, and just a big loss.
What made Billy that so good? Because now he came up in the American League. He was a strikeout guy. He had almost a perfect game that he lost at two out in the ninth inning to Ed Fitzgerald, blooped a hit that cost him a perfect game. But I remember Billy as a strikeout guy.
Oh, he could ride that fastball. And, you know, he didn't have the left-hander running fastball that much, but he had a hop on it. Okay. So he could just come back and get a little extra. I remember Big Frank Howard. Big Frank, he swing and miss it that day. And it's amazing how he could throw, being the size that Billy was, how he could throw that fastball by big hitters. Because they just didn't, I don't know whether they couldn't pick up the ball, but he had pretty long arms. But, man, when he threw it, he was kind of like a Koufax had that hop on that fastball. Now, Billy didn't throw as hard as Koufax, but he could ride that thing in there really good, and he had a good hard slider. Okay. And that was one of the things that it was almost like a cutter. One of the first time he ever heard of something, we didn't know what a cutter was, but that's what it was.
All right, good story, Bobby. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Marty.